You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music discovery show. Appreciate you guys all tuning in, joining us via iTunes or Stitcher or however you're coming to us today. We appreciate you listening. Please tell your friends if you like what you hear. Reach out to the show at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E garbagepodcast@gmail.com. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the Matt LeBlanc to my David Schwimmer, my dear friend Andy.
Rastafari.
Oh, I'm glad that the toasting is back.
I feel like it's been three weeks
since you've toasted. Yeah. Our silent partner Nate is with us, making the sound happen as he always does. Our guest this evening from the Portland band Blowout, Lakin, Nick, Brennan, and Travis are with us tonight.
Hi.
Thank you all for being here.
Thanks for having us.
We are really excited to have you guys. We played you on the show about 3 weeks ago, and since then I've been pretty obsessed with your EP, which is available on Bandcamp.
Yes.
We All Float Down Here. And that came out, I think, in 2014, but you guys have been working on a new album that's due out this year. Tell us a little bit about that process and what people can expect from the new album.
Okay, well, the EP came out, which feels like forever ago. Bread. Well, so I'm going to keep calling Brennan Bread because that's the nickname he has. Bread wasn't even Bread wasn't even on the EP, so it just feels like so weird and dated. But yeah, we've been working on a new album for probably a year and a half maybe or so, and finally finished recording it in September of this year, and it's gonna come out in early August. It takes forever to make vinyl nowadays, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So going vinyl.
Yeah, we're doing it vinyl.
This is a full length, though?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it have a name yet? Are we allowed to talk about the name?
It does.
No Beer, No Dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. That's a good one.
It's really deep.
So the last album was, or the EP, the five song, is really kind of, it's straight ahead, it's poppy, it's loose, it's got like a jangly feel to it. At least that's how I would describe the sound.
Jingles and a jangle.
Yeah. Is that fair? Is that how you guys talk about your sound to other people? I read a lot about it being like pop punk, but I thought that was a little bit generalized for your sound.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a little too broad, but definitely influenced by pop punk.
I could hear that. I feel like that always comes into play too when people hear like female vocals that are singing and not just screaming the whole time. They don't really know how to like categorize it, maybe. It
scares them.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you say? Jingly? Jangly?
Jangly.
Music?
I just felt the kind of the tonal quality was, I don't want to say loose because that implies it's not, I don't
like
know.
Super jammy?
It's, yeah.
It's like really jangle core.
Yeah.
I've heard people call it like twitch pop or like spaz pop or spaz
that was
punk.
Just one person though.
Or maybe just one person.
But I've heard it over and over again.
It's my favorite genre.
We don't even explain what we sound like, I feel like. We're just like, I don't know, listen to it.
Scrub wank.
Scrub wank.
Is that a thing people say?
I'm into that. Let's go with that.
Scrub wank.
What kinds of stuff were you guys listening to when the band formed? What kinds of musical influences were you all bringing to the table when you guys got together?
So, well, originally, Travis and I can kind of speak on this a little bit. Originally, it was me and Travis and this other guy who's actually helped putting out our record. His name is Milk. And we were kind of jamming out songs. And he kind of has like a different influence. But I guess Travis and I have always kind of shared some similar stuff.
Yeah, just definitely a lot of pop punk in those days.
Yeah, a lot of hop along.
A lot of like fun Algernon-y, mathy
stuff. Yeah, Algernon, like Snowing and like Cap'n Jazz, like those kinds of bands obviously have been like a huge influence on us. And then I think like song wise things kind of shifted obviously for the better when Nick started playing drums for us, because Nick also comes from like different
Christian pop punk.
Yeah, he actually literally came from a Christian pop punk band.
They're called MXPX, right?
When he was like how old are you? 19? 17. 17, yeah, touring with like the band was called Noggin Toboggan. He was like 17 touring in the United States. And Nick obviously has his different influences too, but everything kind of crosses over. And then I don't want to speak the whole time.
Yeah.
Tell us about when you came in.
Tell us about... All right, so you're Bread, and that's, you hang out with a dude named Milk, too? Do you know of any other food-named, nicknamed friends?
One of Cheese. He's a good guy. nice. Yeah. Solid human being. I don't know. I just joined the band randomly because they were looking for another guitarist, I guess.
Yeah. We played our first show at Bread's old house, which was called the Cheese House. There's, a lot of food references I'm putting together.
This is fantastic. I love this world.
It was, the day after Halloween, so everyone was, crazy hungover. And we played with Bread's old band, Donkey Lips. Mm-hmm. It was, we were, super...
Oh, from Salute Your Shorts?
What's that?
Do you not know what that is?
You guys know or not know what's...
Old, Nickelodeon sitcom?
Yeah, it was a Nickelodeon...
Kind of like Dude Ranch, but on a camp.
Yeah. Dude Ranch.
There was a character named Donkey Lips. And actually, there was a Dude Ranch show called Hey Dude. That was
Hey Dude,
a
blog.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
So this name, this band, Donkey Lips, was independent of Salute Your Shorts.
No,
is that what you're saying?
I'm just being a dick. It's just a stupid name. But yeah, we were having house shows for a long time, and then somebody told us about Blowout, and we had them come play. And then Nick hit me up and asked if I wanted to come try out or something.
Try out.
It was an audition. It was very, there was a long
was
line of people at the door.
Long audition process. Audition probably 4 or 5 times with about 20 other guitarists. Yeah. And finally.
Check all my references.
Called your parents, talked to them for a while.
Yeah.
Seemed
nice.
Is it easy to integrate a new member when you guys have been doing this for a while? Was it a seamless
fit?
With
him.
Yeah. Fred's different.
All around solid.
Rule. I'm super good.
Real quick learner. And just,
I don't think
musician.
Yeah, we couldn't have done it, if it was going to be someone that wasn't our friend that we don't, hang out with on a regular basis. We could probably hang out with that guy. And he shreds at guitar, so.
He's also, a pushover, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
He just does what you say.
Fucking asshole, Travis.
A good fit, then. Seamless fit. So you guys have been putting together this record, this full length, for quite some time. And what in your sound or your approach has changed? What's different about this record musically than the last stuff that you guys have put out?
Maybe the writing process.
Writing process is different. And then also just influences changing.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the fact that we didn't record it in our basement.
Right.
With all of us playing through a bass amp.
Yeah.
lots of...
I also feel the record what we've been working on, it's really versatile. Every song is very different than the next, and I think you can successfully pick out a couple of songs and be whoa, these are pretty different than the rest of the album. I think they all still fit generally and stylistically, but it's totally versatile, and I think that's when you can really figure out where influences are coming from, and it's kind of a nice mix.
When you guys are writing songs, who is the driving force? Is it any one of you, or is it collaborative? How does a single song come together, typically?
Kind of like an assembly line process.
Yeah.
Nick and I will start with some basic ideas, and then we kind of all collaborate from there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's song to song, too. Certain songs. We just finished one that Brad pretty much wrote the entire thing. And then other songs people have written more of or whatever.
Yeah. It's pretty... Yeah, it's collaborative. It's so, there has to be, someone getting the ball rolling, and it's been nice. Travis and Nick will be the easiest ones to kind of write a couple riffs or kind of jam out a couple of ideas, and then once they feel they have something general to show everyone, we just fucking run with it, have beers, see where stuff goes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of editing involved. I feel we sit on songs for a really long time. I feel we always we'll even get close to finishing something, and then the next week we're we hate it. Let's get rid of it.
Big song graveyard.
Yeah.
None of them will ever see.
We should write an album we just put an album of all the songs we've rejected.
You have to wait after you break up and put out oh yeah, and here's all the shit we did.
Let's release it under a different band name.
Retrospective discography.
You have to have something to fill up that box set. Yeah. Hold on to those.
Yeah, that happens.
Well, I know you guys brought some tunes to play. Is there anything in particular you'd like to share to kick us off?
Yeah, we brought 3 local bands that mean a lot to us. Should we start with Dustin's songs?
Yeah, let's do.
Cool. So you can maybe talk about this a little bit.
Dustin's songs?
Yeah.
Well, Dustin's in a band called Walter Mitty and his makeshift orchestra. And he's also part of one of the labels that's putting out the album with Milk. And Milk's in the band as well. So he's been a super good dude. And I don't know. We have one of his songs to listen to because we like it a lot.
And his label's called Making New Enemies, too.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
What's the name of this track?
This is called Post-Graduation Oblivion.
I lied about my major to a stranger on the bus. I'm pretty sure I'm aging poorly, and I surely be too early. I'm about to greet my bitter end, craving the estrogen and minimum comfort, but I can't afford it. My head's in Oregon, feet in California. I prefer my chest pain to for my daily headaches. I've outgrown those that I've known, and I'm scared to reminisce. So I believe in nothing, and never felt this uncertain of anything in my life. A panic aside, I actually kind of like it.
This is great. Yeah, that's me.
This is a quick break for our listeners. We're distributing some gutter wine that Andy brought to the show tonight. So
it's fresh from a gutter.
Very good.
So you guys, this morning I was getting ready for work, and I was coming around the corner of my bed first thing in the morning, and I just kicked the shit out of my toe against the corner of my bedpost.
I wanted to try it.
And Do you have a mom?
Huh?
Do you have a mom frame?
I don't.
You're so lucky. Lost a toe.
I know. It didn't shatter my tibia, but it did really hurt.
Your big toe?
My big toe. Oh, yeah. I really gave it a full-on kick. And I was thinking how terrible it is as an adult to get injured. Even an injury like that really set my morning back. Have you guys ever had any big injuries in your life?
I know where this is going.
The day before we started recording, I spent a nice evening at the hospital. A game of skate gone wrong with Brennan.
Yeah. Skateboard injury, huh?
Yeah. I'm not very... Shit. I haven't skateboarded since I was probably 12.
So he's obviously
being
losing.
Real confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up getting 6 stitches in my eyebrow.
What'd you do? Your eyebrow?
Yeah, and then I sprained my wrist, so I couldn't play on the first day at all.
Of recording? Yeah.
And I actually had to push off recording my guitar for maybe an extra month. Later than it should have been done.
What were the circumstances? What happened?
I was doing a sick pop shove it, and then I slipped out on my face and shattered my glasses. And then that was
really bad.
Well, it's
a piece of your skin inside the glasses.
So there was like an island in the middle of the cut too, just from my glasses where it just pushed in. It was pretty gross.
Well, I love how you still wear your glasses with the arm missing.
Oh, that's right.
So I still wear those glasses, and they're kind of
lopsided
on my face.
You're wearing your contacts now, though.
Yeah, contacts going later. I got the glasses early on.
That is funny. Yeah, like how long ago did that happen? That happened in like September, maybe, and you still wear just the one arm eyeglasses.
It was good. July 17th.
July 17th. Okay, wait.
Like it was yesterday.
It was like the same night we had like a big show. It was Tony Molina played a secret set, right? And then Happy Diving and Never Young, and they were playing a house show at our old house on Williams in Alberta or Wygant, and because it's like the warehouse essentially just has like cement floor, people were like, oh yeah, we can skate this. It just turned into an indoor skate park, which should not have happened.
So were there a lot of people there to see this happen?
Yeah.
Well, not
your dope pop falling.
Well, let's talk about the jerk with the camera.
Oh yeah, someone, I was on the ground and some guy just started taking really close up pictures of my fucked up face.
Like Night Stalker? Like that fucking...
Yeah. Oh, that is. Like Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler.
Yeah, that was kind of similar to that.
For some crime photos?
Yeah, and that was weird because I...
Real creep.
Pretty dazed and just flashes going off in my face.
Just riding around being like, so I won then, right?
Yeah. Brad told me he won, even though I was ahead.
Yeah, bullshit.
I stubbed my toe a while back. On a door.
Not to be a one-upper or anything like that.
No.
I know you fell on your face, but...
Sorry.
Andy also stubbed his toe.
I stubbed my toe, too. And,
it hurts.
It hurts so bad. I just kept going with my day. Didn't even think anything of it. It hurt like a motherfucker. Like, way worse than a normal
stubbed toe. I've broken some toes for sure on those fucking bedposts.
I went to bed, and I was like, fuck, that feels kind of swollen. And I took my sock off, and the entire first knuckle was the size of a grape in the same color, basically. Just like, that's awful. Fucking broken. It's just dangling there.
Mm-hmm. And those injury days, like real injuries, like yours, Travis, that takes a chunk out of your day. Like whatever you're doing, it just ruins that day in a way that, like, I remember getting injured when I was a kid, and it was, I remember I had got, the first time I got stitches, I tripped in my room and bashed my knee into the handle of my dresser, and we were going to see Ace Ventura in the theater later that afternoon, and I didn't get to go because I had to go to the hospital to get stitches.
Have you never seen the first one?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I refused to see it after
only
that.
Only one that matters.
That's the thing. If I miss a movie, I never go see that movie again. It's dead to me.
If you miss a chance to see it in the theater.
Or if I rent a movie and I don't get to watch it and I have to return it, I'll never watch that movie. I already spent that money. It's gone.
The six or seven, Redbox movies that I've forgotten to return that I now own, most of them I haven't seen. I didn't return them because I never watched them, and I bought them for like $38, and I've never seen them since.
Oh, no.
What about you guys? Any big injuries that have shaped your lives in some way or ruined a day?
I can happily say no, and I'm also going to knock on this.
No injuries.
I get some gout flare-ups from time to time.
That sounds...
I haven't had one in a really long time, though.
That sounds like a challenge.
Knock on wood.
I just remember those gout commercials where they would show a guy carrying around a glass jug of green liquid. And
yeah, well, when I had the flare-ups... for the place I was working at the time, the owner told me that black cherry juice was something that would help it a lot. And I remember just limping up Alberta and just dragging my foot just in search of this black cherry juice. And
did it help you?
Not at all. It made me shit crazy. It was like diarrhea for 3 days straight.
Yeah, now we know. Black cherry juice.
Yeah, don't drink it.
So the great cure is worse than the disease is basically what you're saying.
What about black cherry gutter wine, though?
Black cherry gutter wine gives you crazy diarrhea.
Cool. Well, let's time this right then.
It basically doesn't even get processed. It comes immediately out the back end.
It's scary.
It's exactly what you would think.
Like you touch your lips to the bottle, and it's almost like a siphon.
Top me off.
So another thing that we sometimes talk about on the show is the supernatural. We'll get into that just a little bit because I refuse to believe in any of those things at all.
The conspiracies?
Ghosts in general.
Ghosts specifically.
Drew doesn't believe in ghosts at all.
Okay.
So I don't know if I want to talk about that.
That's exactly why I don't believe in ghosts, is because I would be terrified constantly if I even entertained that possibility. But what, growing up, what were you guys afraid of?
My brother. Real mean to me. So anything he would do.
I'm hydrophobic. I think everyone but Brad has seen me have a panic attack in the water, and it's so embarrassing and really weird. Nick has had to come rescue me when I was out at Kelly Point, just because the water, the mud is goopy at the bottom, and it smushes between your toes, and I was in water by myself, and I just started crying and panicking, and Nick just came out and grabbed me and brought me back.
Because of the muck on the bottom?
Yeah, I'm afraid of water and muck, I guess.
Water and muck.
Yeah. Well, there has to be a name for that specifically. Just a mixture of the two, phobia.
Yeah, we'll look it up. Big B. We should look it up.
Muckophobia.
Muckophobia. I like that.
I don't like muck either. I used to be terrified of seaweed. I used to swim in a lot of lakes in Michigan, and the whole like outer rim of every lake was like lily pads and seaweed. Mm-hmm. And it was like bottomless seaweed. Like you could stand in like, it looked like it was like a foot of water, but it was like 7 feet of seaweed.
Oh, it's real good for your skin though, gross. I think, right?
Yeah, and it's full of leeches.
Oh, nice. Oh. That's good for your blood.
Yeah. It's good to just lay in a leech pond for a while, every once in a while.
Leech people all the time. Exactly. I don't know why they stopped.
Let's bring it back.
They're bringing it back.
Cool. I've been trying to bring it back.
Let's open a leech shop in Portland, on Alberta.
So no one was afraid of ghosts or anything?
I was afraid of sleeping facing the wall. I don't know why. Yeah, probably ghosts.
You just needed that escape route at all times?
Yeah, exactly. I need to like be alert. I just also didn't sleep very much.
My good friend Matt Daly saw Cat's Eye really early as a kid, and he was always terrified of getting into his bed. He thought somebody was going to slash his Achilles tendon. He would jump into his bed from far away.
Jesus. Is that the one with like the...
Like the... It's like a little elf, and it has like all the like the
evil troll
and
thing.
The garb. And, okay. Mm-hmm.
And there's the cat.
And Drew Barrymore, I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wait, this is a movie?
It's an old Stephen King movie.
Someone gets their Achilles tendon.
Yeah, it's happened in a few movies, but that's the one that got him. But yeah, as the dude's like sitting on the edge of his bed, getting ready for bed, he like sneaks up underneath the bed, and slashes Achilles tendon, and that is so scary.
That happened in Pet Cemetery too.
Did it? Yeah.
Like just another movie where that happens in a parking garage under like a any like little
child's play,
little villain,
any small villain. That's their go-to move.
Yeah.
All foot attacks. You need those. You need your feet.
Well, Andy, you want to play some music for us?
I do.
Mix it up. What do you got this week?
Nate turned me on to this dude this week called Breakmaster Cylinder.
What's the name of this track?
Let's see. Which one should I play? Man, there's so many good ones. It's hard. Let's see. The dog one. The dog one is awesome, but I cannot. It's so horrible. Where the fuck did it go? Okay. I'll play a song called Revolution Number Mom.
I'm here to sing some songs for my mama. One, two, three, four.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Say you want a revolution. Well,
I'm standing on a chair like I don't really care. I'm standing on a chair like I don't really care.
Do you guys have any guilty pleasures that you listen to musically? Are there anyone that you're secretly ashamed that you like a lot?
Guilty.
Like Chingy.
Chingy?
Nothing to be ashamed about there. I recently got back into Trick Daddy.
Trick Leather Kids.
That Justin Bieber Skrillex song is pretty sick.
It's not guilty pleasure.
I'm on board
with
that.
Yeah, but
too.
I don't feel guilty about listening to it. It's like,
yeah, a lot of like pop should be a guilty pleasure, but I like it. And I'll own up to it at any point. Yeah. Kesha, fucking awesome.
I do like Kesha.
What about something from your childhood that your taste has changed so much since you listened to it that you don't even recognize yourself in it?
I feel like everything that I listened to, like say when I was in high school, I still listen to today.
What were you listening to in high school?
Lots of Saves the Day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Through Being Cool. That was like the best album ever.
That's a good one. Stay What You Are is another album.
That one was really good too, but it was all about Through Being Cool for me, for sure.
What about you guys? What were you listening to when you were in high school?
Definitely a lot of like Alkaline Trio and Save the Day, and then had like a shitty metalcore phase. Definitely Mom to Ashes. That's something I'm ashamed of.
Your metalcore phase?
Yeah,
but it's not like you still listen to it. So
I'm still just ashamed of 14-year-old me.
I definitely owned like a cool Killswitch Engage CD. Pretty bad.
What else falls in the metalcore genre? I don't remember that.
Darkest Hour, like Black Dahlia Murder,
what are, like, Bleeding Through, and, like those bands.
Bleeding Through is still tight.
Wait, who does the backflips in the Lisa Frank shirt? Is that Throwdown, or is that? I think I'm combining Bleeding Through and
Linkin Park.
Throwdown in Linkin Park. I do have a Linkin Park CD.
I got one for Easter when I was in fifth grade.
For Easter?
My mom got me like weird Jesus CDs Christ for Easter.
I got the same thing. I got tapes from my parents when I was growing up.
You guys remember when Linkin Park put out an album with Jay-Z? Easter.
What?
You remember when Linkin Park put out an album with Jay-Z?
Yeah, there was that mashup. But I thought it was...
That was so weird.
Like Danger Mouse or something like that. I thought it was a...
I thought it was like a major release.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
We should listen to it.
That's what I'm listening to tonight.
When I go home.
Did you guys all grow up in the Northwest?
Nope.
No.
All California children.
Yeah, all Californians.
Oh, from which part of California?
Nick and I were from like San Luis Obispo County.
Mm-hmm. I'm from San Jose.
I'm from Ventura County. But I met Nick and Travis in SLO. In San Luis Obispo. I always say SLO and like no one knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
How long have you been in Portland?
Been here for 8 years, maybe?
Yeah. Like 6 or 7 for me?
I've been here like 3, I guess.
Is there something you guys have noticed that's distinct about Portland? Maybe not the music that's being made here, but the kind of the community. Is there something unique about Portland that you guys have put your finger on from a musical standpoint?
I think, like, I don't like using the term PC culture, but definitely, like, kind of this idea of revolutionizing what punk community is supposed to be is definitely different, in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, actually inclusive.
Yeah.
It tries to be, whereas other scenes just talk about it and aren't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I just came here because it was, like, cheaper and looked like a lot of fun. Yeah. Like, I was a typical idiot that moved here.
That's Burgerville, too.
Well, I didn't know that that existed before. I didn't know that existed before I moved here. It was, like, something that took, I think, honestly, like, 3 or 4 years to find in the first place. Like, we didn't even really start, like, thinking we'd ever be a band or playing shows until that scene kind of arose. We're, like, playing with, like, Snow Roller and Sioux Falls and those bands. House shows, too. Like, I don't know. I feel like there was, like, no house shows, like, where I was in, like, living in California and here.
Yeah.
There was definitely
nice
more.
Nice thing about having a basement. They don't really have basements in California for
That's
shows.
That's true, yeah.
Or, like, house shows I'd go to. I was like, it's in our pool house.
Yeah, but, like, we rented a pool house. Yeah.
That's true. You don't really see very many house parties with bands in the attic.
No.
Yeah, that's true. That's like
except for Aerosmith. And their toys.
So what, are house shows still a big part of the punk scene? Is that still a big part of, getting out there?
It seems like it comes and goes. Mm-hmm. Houses don't last very long.
Yeah. There's always new houses popping up. Definitely.
What's the consensus on that? I feel like as I've gotten older, people are more hesitant to throw house parties and play. It's like it's almost beneath them. Are you guys still? I love house parties. I think those are my favorite. Like being in a band, those are my favorite shows to play. You can get pretty drunk.
When I lived in a house, we loved having parties and shows. We didn't care at all.
We got our last house because it came with like a small warehouse / like big garage, like with the idea that we would put on shows or like have a place to practice, and we did it for a year, and like it was awesome. We had like really cool shows, but like a year is about as long as you can do it. Like I had to like make it my bedroom for us to be able to do it, which meant like even in the winter, like that was my bedroom, so whatever temperature it was outside, I'd be like sleeping in a parka and shit. And like it's like that kind of a line that you draw when it's like, well, I should at least have like a bed that I can like sleep in and be warm. For the most part, everything went
that's
fine.
Where I draw the line in my bedroom.
Yeah. People would fight. That's what pissed me off. We would throw house shows and people would get in fights.
That's no fun.
That was pretty chill.
Like real punk rockers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they weren't punk rockers. They were just like bro-ish party dudes that like saw a bunch of people hanging out outside and, you know, kind of wanted to do something with their
Friday
night.
People were brought by other people, like in the scene. There wasn't just some random person. Some people just get way too drunk.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
That sounds very exciting. I've been to some parties where I wish that would happen. Because
people just start fighting, hitting each other in the face.
Yeah, just like some random bros come over and do something weird because this is boring as shit.
I told this story before, but I threw a house party in college and someone shit into a cup and then put that cup in the microwave.
That's so tight.
Oh, yeah.
Who
is this?
So what happened next?
Put us in touch with this person.
They turned it on.
Well, we had kicked them out of the party because they were dumping their drinks on other people, and then they
you
snuck
didn't kick
back
them out for
in.
The shit
and,
thing?
What's that?
You didn't kick him out for like the shitting in the cup.
No, that's when I grudgingly shook your hand. Touché.
Oh, so okay, they shit in the cup and they turn the microwave on.
On, yes. Not they didn't just leave it for the next microwave.
I thought it was just like, oh, well, at least like I just like, put gloves on and
what
happened?
What kind of cup though? Is it just like a plastic?
It was like a styrofoam cup.
Oh, okay.
Oh, even worse.
So just like catch on fire.
Yeah, just it was a hot fused turd after
red hot shit fire.
Did anyone? When?
What was the first thing that you cooked in your microwave after someone?
Oh, we never cooked anything in the microwave. As a matter of fact, we sold it at a garage sale.
Oh, that poor person.
Yeah. It was an old lady, too. We felt, I mean, mildly guilty. I mean, we put as is on there. So no, I feel like fair. Truth in advertising. She knew what she was getting. But no.
Did you clean it out?
No. No, but we had also lost.
Just covered in baked beans in there.
We had also had a toilet destroyed at our house during a party, and we had set it out in the hallway outside the bathroom while we were replacing it. It had another party in the interim there.
Was
and
it the same guy?
No, not the same guy. No, this is turned out to be a lady who did this. We learned 3 years later. But as we were removing that broken toilet, we noticed that there was just a turd inside of it too. So someone had shit in the middle of that toilet.
In a dry toilet in a hallway.
Yeah, in just a dry hallway toilet.
I mean, when you have to go. You have to go. Yeah. Don't hold that against them.
Mm-hmm. I guess by that logic, it was polite of her to use at least a toilet.
Yeah, could have just been in your room or something.
Toilet. Yeah,
could have been in your microwave.
Yeah, exactly. That seems like a good place to store it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a pretty low hurdle to clear. Is like mm-hmm. expecting people not to shit in your broken toilet.
You should have seen the upper deckers you had. You had no idea. It was disgusting.
Never opened that tank. Not once in 3 years living in that house. So I have no idea.
It was like a honey bucket in there.
No.
That's, that's really gross.
It was really disgusting. There was a lot of shit in that house. It's too bad.
Well, you overpowered it with all the weed smoke.
There was a lot of weed smoke. We had, in fact, we would buy every cheesy weed poster that the head shop would sell us. So we had like 15 terrible
would
weed
sell.
Posters.
You do like they cut you off at a certain point. Like, yeah. No.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah we'd have so to like you could buy seven at a time, and so you kind of have to tag out. And it's like a 72-hour window that you can't.
You got a couple too many blacklight posters in your car, son.
Yeah. Going to college is about learning to be fiscally responsible, and that was not a wise purchase. But Tranquility Base with the astronaut on the moon and the weed and his like reflected in his visor, that's a great poster.
We're do not, you need not four of that same poster yes. in your apartment? Wow.
Do you guys want to play some more music? What else did you bring for us?
We could play your song.
Yeah, so I brought something from a band called Fandeath. The song's called They've Got a Machine, Part 2. And I'm just excited because they just, I think they're getting back together now.
That's what Andrew said.
Yeah.
Not to spread rumors on the podcast.
They recorded in our basement of our house before last. And
where we recorded our EP.
Yeah, right where we recorded our EP. They recorded a really good full length. And they kind of, one of them moved to New Orleans and then guess he's back now, and I think they're going to start doing stuff again.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah. All right, well, this is Fandeath.
I don't have children, though. It's weird.
But he knows the deal when he sees it.
So. Yeah. I mean, I'm playing it in the head. I got this, like, deflated CPR baby up there. Mm-hmm. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah. So, Andy, you've got some hot fast food news
for
us.
Oh, yeah, I'll take you to Andy's fast food corner.
Yeah, take us there.
Burger King, they just dropped their angriest Whopper.
What makes it angry?
They cook hot sauce directly into the bun. Oh. It's got a bright red, like, just disgustingly looking, like, chemical red bun. And I think it's got, like, jalapenos on it, bacon, deep fried onion petals that are angry petals.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like the black cherry juice of fast food.
They have an angry sauce. Yeah. There's an angry sauce they put on it. It looks horrible. I can't wait to eat it.
So now you can go to Burger King and you can get that sandwich and a hot dog.
You can.
Whenever you want.
Oh, those hot dogs are disgusting.
Yeah, they're really disgusting.
They taste like a microwave hot dog.
Kind of a connoisseur of fast food.
Have you had the Double Down hot dog?
No.
Oh,
man,
foul.
I want it so bad.
What's the Double Down hot dog?
It's a hot dog wrapped in fried chicken instead of a bun.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Who's serving that?
KFC.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's like they had the first version that was just like a hamburger like, yeah, instead of, yeah, bread, just...
Wait,
did you say
it's a burger or it's a hot dog?
The new one's a hot dog. They used to have a burger version, and I guess
it was like
they caught some flack.
Well, the Double Down was two pieces of chicken with cheese and bacon in between,
right?
And sauce.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, and yeah, that didn't do so well. And then they did the
weird
Double Down dog. Yeah. I heard they were going to do a taco.
I can't think of a purveyor of hot dogs
like
I trust.
They
less.
Could use the same bun and just put ground beef in.
KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and A&W are all owned by the same people. So anything that they have at any one of those, they could make a mashup of it at any moment. But they don't.
It's a beauty.
They're making a walking Double Down dog, which is just that inside of a bag of Doritos. Swimming in so ranch.
A nice Mountain Dew sauce side.
Yeah.
Blowout loves Taco Bell.
It's a Mountain Dew AM,
by the way.
Yeah. Have you tried Mountain Dew AM Taco Bell? Their breakfast Mountain Dew?
What? No.
It's served hot.
What times do they serve breakfast?
They serve it until like 10:30 or 11. I don't know. But they have a dollar menu there now
tomorrow.
At Taco Bell. And they have Mountain Dew AM, which I think is half Mountain Dew, half orange juice. Oh,
I would have expected coffee.
Yeah. It's half Red Bull.
So you guys are not ashamed to be Taco Bell eaters. Some people are. No. Some people
are okay with it. We love it.
I know it's bad for me, and I feel terrible every time I eat it, but it's so good.
We've gotten Taco Bell gift cards before we go on tour before from friends. We use every penny.
Yeah.
And just bomb out that van on the road.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of the Quesalupa? Were you as let down by it as I was?
Yeah, they need the sweet quesarito sauce in there somewhere.
They need to do something with the inside of that taco. It's super boring.
Go on.
The quesarito.
Yes,
the quesarito is the finest.
I like this nuanced opinion.
I like how you're looking at me.
Sorry, dude. Jesus.
I'm just a big, big fan.
I was expecting more of a bursting cheese shell on that thing than I got.
That'd be cool. Like, baked into it and just...
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's just every pore is oozing with melted cheese. That's what I was expecting.
It kind of all gathers right in the middle.
Yeah.
It's because they're using real cheese, and they need to just, like, stop fooling themselves and use, like, caulk gun cheese and, like, pipe it in there fresh.
Yeah, like nacho cheese that they have. Might as well use it for something.
Yeah. I want a hollow shell pumped full of fresh, hot, piping cheese when I get it handed to me.
I also want that quesarito, like, fake sour cream, jalapeno sauce.
Yeah, that's
whatever it is, it's... I want to salute that man that invented it.
Mm-hmm, it's good.
Do you guys ever go upgrade it and get chicken or beef? I don't know anybody who does.
It's a lateral move for me. I think upgrade's a misnomer.
Yeah. I always just go with the gimme with their seasoned beef. Mm-hmm. Their steak and their chicken taste like canned beef and meat.
Right? Never had it. I've never been brave enough.
You're not missing too much.
I was brave enough to try the quesarito, but I'll stay in my lane as far as the meat's there.
And yeah. So many quesaritos last week. Yeah.
Somebody.
Shame.
This is a no judgment
place.
You had more than one last week, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we were moving last week, and then just after each day, I would make myself feel better by eating Taco Bell.
Travis is the kind of roommate. Yeah, Travis, like, we'll find like just Taco Bell in the fridge. Like, it, he pretends like it's going to be good the next day.
I never eat it, but, like, you know, I don't want to waste it just in case.
I respect it. It's just confusing. It's, yeah, it's good.
I just think maybe you want it. Like, you know, I'll
That's
leave you a little
sweet
treat.
Of you. Thank you.
I've kept a soft taco overnight. And those can, you can you
those
can revive that. I mean, it's only two bites.
Like, I mean, the lettuce instantly rots, like, for some reason. But besides that, it's good.
And if you get, like, a 12-pack of hard tacos, when you get to them, they're soft tacos.
A party pack?
Yeah, if you get a party pack, you can start crunchy and soft.
As they say.
Need more party packs in our lives.
I did something at Taco Bell the other day that I've never done before.
What's that?
I went back for seconds.
Did you?
Yeah.
You reordered.
I reordered again. I've never done that. I've always been like, fuck it, I'll just go. I'm done. I've gotten what I'm going to get here. But I was eating in it inside and was just like, you know what? That wasn't enough. For another quesarito.
You added a quesarito, huh?
Yeah.
You guys love this quesarito.
I do. It's my favorite.
I thought it was disgusting. But I guess I was wrong.
Well, then you're wrong.
It's so good.
I know. I'm going to have to reevaluate my opinion.
I wish they would quesarito more menu items. If I wanted a quesarito taco. I guess that would just be a regular quesarito. It just kind of wrapped around other things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, our friend Jackie, her dad was an engineer for Taco Bell, so he hooked us up with a bunch of swag, I guess. And
what
so
does
we
that
had
even mean,
he engineered all really the nacho know. Cheese.
I probably like something with the machines that make everything. But so our old house had like Taco Bell chairs in it, and like every member of the band had like a Taco Bell T-shirt really old.
They only gave us larges.
That's
all they make of that.
It's like a Moo Moo on me.
They know their audience.
Taco Bell
Outside of Taco Bell, are there any other like art forms that influence you guys?
I guess.
I'm thinking like beyond music too. Are there
it's
any
like
other
Jackson Pollock paintings? I just stare at them.
Yeah, and I'm curious. Like, what are there any other kinds of whether it's books or whether it's comedy or you know, is there something else that you are inspired by that has some presence or shows up?
Travis
in your music.
Likes a lot of manga.
No, I don't. Like
if you can read it between the quesarito crumbs.
I mean, I read a lot, but I don't know if that necessarily shows up in anything I do musically. Just like it.
Who writes the lyrics?
I write my lyrics. Brad Light writes his lyrics.
Mm-hmm. I guess how much importance do you place on lyrics? What's the process there? Some people just get them out and finish the song, but some people it means a lot to. Is there a philosophy behind your lyrics?
No, not really. Nothing, like, for me, nothing, like, personal. Like, I don't write about, like situational things. I just kind of, it's try and make it as vague as I can, unless it's just, like, about me, like, being really hungover and sad for a moment or something.
Those themes, like, occur
Stephen King
often.
Books, too.
Yeah, there's some Stephen King lines in there. Or, like, make up stuff about France and embellish their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like everything, like, lyrically is all kind of, like, it. Yeah, like, I think Brad said it well. It's, like, it's vague, but I guess when I, like, at least when I'm writing lyrics and shit, it just, like, it is kind of about, like, at least, like, a moment in life. Like, maybe, like, a year, like, how you can, like, dredge down, like, all your feelings and everything's kind of, like, you kind of, like, expel, like, the shit parts. And, like, a lot of the lyrics are, like, celebratorily, like, sad. But we're not sad people. And I think that's probably because we write about the shitty parts. And we just kind of, like, laugh at each other. Like, oh, yeah, a lot of the songs are being about being, like, hungover or, like, thinking like maybe you're a loser but being like fuck it, no I'm not, and
you are, though.
Yeah, just like poking fun at yourself and getting over it, you know.
Yeah.
So because obviously music is performative, there's an element of I guess unreality to it. How much of your personalities, like, do you feel like manifests itself in the music? Is this pretty close to who you are? Is this like an accurate reflection of the kind of music you want to be making, or is there a little bit of performance that goes into it?
No. I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of... No.
No. No. Next question.
Yep.
Yeah. Pass.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think about it too much, honestly. Like, just play what feels right, I guess. Mm-hmm. That sounds really dumb.
I want to be in a Rage Against the Machine cover band, but I guess
there's too many of those in Portland.
Thing.
There's so many of those bands.
Everyone's pretty damn honest. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
There's really nothing behind what you see.
What are your ambitions for the band?
Tour. Full US tour. Mm-hmm. This summer, first one.
Really messy breakup.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, a huge get-together.
Hoping for, like, a behind-the-music special.
No.
Yeah, that'd be good.
How about, like, a three-day weekend campout, blowout campout?
A cruise?
We did one of those, kind of, right? Like, the motorcycle cruise. Campout?
Yeah, thing. We did kind of do that.
That was pretty weird.
That was one day.
Yeah.
But one day of, yeah, not being allowed to use porta-potties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Keep making music. We want to write, like, another EP real soon, have that come out real soon, and then have the full length hit, go on tour, and just start writing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did you guys record this album that's coming out this year?
Did drums at this place called, was it Map Room?
The Map Room.
And then the rest was at Matt Thompson's house. He was the engineer. Is that what he
called? Ivy League Recordings.
Ivy League Recording.
It's like
a
really cool home studio. So we recorded everything else there besides the drums.
And you guys had recorded the EP, the first EP, in your home studio, correct?
Not basement? A studio, it was a basement.
Not quite
a
studio. just a shitty basement.
our friend that we met through Andrew Link, who's in Fandeath, who we just played, his name's Trevor Oates. He has gear, and he just, like, for, like, $300, just, like, yeah, I'll, like, bring all my shit over, and we'll do it, like, quick and dirty in 2 days. And, like, that's exactly what it is. And then it's funny, too, like, when, like, the Willamette Week writes about, like, the recordings are admittedly rough, and it's like, well, fuck yeah, they are. Like, dude, like, brought over mics. You just talked about how, like, you recorded everything through a bass amp, like, yeah. A shitty PV or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that PV, your bass and my guitar was both recorded yeah. to that yeah. shitty PV bass amp.
But it was, like, that was, like, kind of why it was great, too. It was, like, everything was shitty. There was, like, no real, like, reason to record it other than the fact that, like, we were going to play a couple shows in California, and we're like, well, we should maybe have something for someone to take away if they like it. And so we're like, well, let's just record a, you know, five songs.
Extreme sounds EP. Real good.
Yeah.
I was in Pirate, so I can only have
So I thought it sounded, like, stylistically intentional. I thought it was, like, a perfect match for the content.
I mean, I definitely chose to play through a bass amp and not own my own gear. Definitely chose to pick up that distortion pedal the same day we recorded from Trade Up. No, it was a Den Electro grilled cheese.
Oh, nice. He's the daddy-o. Cool.
So when you were kind of upgrading studios, what was, like, the learning curve? Did you guys spend a lot more time messing around with sounds and tones? Or what was your approach versus the basement recordings?
I mean, I think we definitely... I mean, at least I spent a lot more time on tones. But we kind of all recorded separately. Like, no one was there when I was doing guitar.
Except for me.
Yeah.
I was there the
whole
time.
Oh, yeah, you were there for one day. No, you skipped, like, 2 days.
Oh,
you were there
shit.
One day.
Okay,
and then,
sorry.
But it's definitely, like, he had a lot of pedals, which is nice. So I got to play through a lot of different things and just kind of figure it out from there. Whereas the first time... we figured out the tone in, like, the first, like, 5 minutes. We're like, oh, mm-hmm. That sounds good. Let's go for it. We're good enough. There's only so much you can do on, like, an MXR pedal and a bass amp. You can't really tweak it too much, I guess.
I guess that's also maybe, like, sound-wise, what another difference was, is, like, yeah, we kind of just believe in everyone, and we kind of just were like, okay, well, here's, like, your week to do stuff. Like, we know that you know how you want it to sound, like, go for it. It wasn't, like, super collaborative, like, no, you should tweak it this way. It was kind of like, we trust you, and all right, go do your thing.
Nick and Travis bossed me around a little bit when they were around.
Oh, they
did? I didn't make any of my own decisions.
Yeah. I mean, we're very hostile towards Brennan at all times, but besides that, like, we trust each other.
Like the forever new guy.
Yeah. Well, I just think you're an idiot.
I know, dude. I don't know anything about it.
I think it's interesting, like, so you guys were not all in the studio at the same time when you were doing overdubs and stuff like that?
It depends. It totally depends. I mean, there's, like, four of us, and we all had crazy different schedules, so, like, that's the biggest thing. And it took us how long to record that album? Like,
a couple months.
Yeah, a couple months.
Were you there for, like, all the drumming?
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely wasn't for that.
Well, yeah, and then also the you weren't there the first 2 days.
I only did scratch tracks on one song.
Right.
And, like, that was awful because I was just in a brace. And had to just do it because no one else had learned the song yet.
Well, there was also, yeah, so, like, the ending track on the album, it was kind of, like, written as it was recorded in a way. Like, we wanted to have 10 songs, and like Travis and Nick had been working on an idea like right up until the recordings, and so like they just like hammered out an idea between the two of them, and then like me and Brad had like 1 day or 2 days to like figure out like all of our parts and also like vocal melodies and like lyrics and stuff. So it was like this crazy hustle, and like that song is probably like one of our favorite songs on the album, actually. Yeah, but it was like such a weird anomaly that it was completely put together like in pieces. Like, it was just like, and then at that point it's set in stone, like you can't go back and change anything. Like, once the drums were done, like that's it, that's how the song is gonna go. And then when Travis did guitar, it's like, okay, even more stapled in. And yeah, it's a fun track though. It was different.
Maybe sometimes it's nice to like create things under some constraints too, is you know, you have to work with what's there and not overthink things. But given how long the recording process was, how much change happened to those songs as you were going through the recording process? Were you pretty disciplined about keeping them as you had rehearsed them, or did that time give you a little bit of room to experiment, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely reworked a lot of my guitar as I went, and then I know like a lot of vocal parts changed.
Yeah, we added a lot of more vocals.
Yeah, we'd hear a lot of space, like, this sounds too empty, like, we need to write vocals for this part and add it on, like, sort of thing.
I think the weirdest thing, true. Is this embarrassing to admit, but like, we just like didn't demo anything. We were just like, we've written these songs, we've been playing them in our basement, like, let's just get this shit out there. And so we just started recording them, and I think that's why there was kind of a lot of like, it took so long and a lot of like playing catch up and adding things later, because it was the first time we were like actually hearing it back.
Once, I mean, we had set kind of like the deadline to record, and we didn't have 10 songs when we booked the time.
Yeah.
So we just kind of set that arbitrary deadline. And then, I mean, that song we were talking about, If Else If, like, Nick and I finished the whole structure the day before we recorded, or like we're going in to record it. So it's definitely just, don't want to do it like that ever again.
No.
It's like a real sloppy.
Really sloppy. I mean,
I'm stoked with how it turned out.
We're learning. But like what you said about like restrictions, I mean, that's how the EP even came to be, because we felt like we had to have something recorded to bring with us to play like these like three California shows.
Like, we can be very slow sometimes, so it's nice to set arbitrary deadlines for no reason. Like, oh yeah, let's book some studio time, we'll finish it then. Sometimes
it's like doing homework,
sitting on songs for too long and just, you know, taking 2 months to finish one song, and that, at that rate, like, oh, we can record an album, you know, in 20 months. Cool.
Yeah.
Do you get tired of those songs after, if they sit around? Because I know that we do, the way that my band writes songs is we'll write them in batches. Yeah. And then often they will sit there without lyrics and kind of unfinished and unperformed for a long time. And then, you know, one of us will sit down for 2 days and we'll crank them out. But during that time, you're like, eh, sometimes I think, oh, this song, not that good anymore. Does that happen often, where you're sold on something and then it falls out of rotation?
I mean, I don't dislike it. I'm tired of our album because we've had those songs written for so long. Yeah. Like, I'm ready for playing new stuff. I'm ready for another release, and it hasn't even come out yet. So that's kind of
that's like the curse of the revival of vinyl, is now it takes 8 months for the vinyl to come out, and it's just like, yeah, we have been waiting a long time. But it's like, I know, like, every time I listen to it again, it's like, oh, okay, good, like, this is where we recorded it. It's like, it feels good, and like when we play those songs live, it feels good. But like, it's not stuff you want to be practicing. Like, that's why we're like, now, like, when we're, you know, getting together for practice, like, we don't even bring up the old songs. The only time we play our old songs is if we're gonna play a show, and then we just don't practice the old songs anymore.
Do you feel obligated to play those old songs live, even as you're writing new things that you're more excited about, just because the album hasn't come out yet?
I mean, we definitely don't have enough new stuff.
Yeah.
Like, also.
So, but, obligated, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely. We could play, let's play a 2-song set.
An 18-minute set.
Well, then I can only even play, like, 2 songs off the EP, so we don't even play any of that stuff, really.
Yeah. We write slowly. Super collaborative band means shit comes out. Takes a while.
Speaking of music, Andy, you got something you want to play for us right now?
You know it, man. I got something picked out just for you, Drew.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, my God. This song.
Is this some reggae or some noise?
I
don't know how you guys feel about noise music, but they played some for me last week, and it sucked. It's just a big pile of shit.
That's fair.
Now, this is Screamin' Jay Hawkins. Are you familiar with Screamin' Jay Hawkins? Mm-hmm. This is his cover of I Shot the Sheriff.
Stop on his great big old fat toe. I shot the sheriff.
And that song also fades itself out. Not only was it terrible, it ended with a fade. They couldn't even figure out how to close it out.
Well, it goes on forever. They faded it out because it's actually like a 48-hour song.
Fades back.
They have like an extended version I could find anywhere?
I hope so.
That was actually the song looped together four times. Well, another hot cut there, Andy. Thank you for nothing. Thank you for absolutely nothing. We had a guest on a couple weeks ago talking about how much she and then me also hate Bruce Springsteen and think he's full of shit. Are there any sort of like of that caliber, well-respected? We were talking about Eric Clapton.
Yeah, I hate him.
Yeah, yeah, he blows. Are there any other examples in that era? Like, those two are like really rock standards, and I think they both suck and can't understand that anyone likes them. Do you guys have any strong feelings like that from the like rock canon?
Every single Beatle.
I was going to say the Beatles. We don't like the Beatles.
The Beatles?
Yeah.
That's a controversial opinion.
Yeah.
Break that down for us. You guys don't like melody? Beautiful
songwriting? You've had really long conversations with Corey about that.
I mean, it started out, I would talk about hating the Beatles to make my friend Brandon mad because he would get furious. So I kind of just entrenched myself into hating them, like, for no actual reason.
You talked yourself into it, huh?
Yeah, basically. Right. I used to have really good arguments towards it. But also, I mean, I think most of them are generally piece of shits. Like, John Lennon
all
was
piece
a
of
fucking
shits.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, Eric Clapton, too.
Yeah. Yeah, true. He was supposed to die instead of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
The perfect world.
The Beatles conspiracy theory.
Yeah, Paul McCartney. Paul's been dead since 1966.
Yeah, he was the one good Beatle, and he's been dead for years.
The one good Beatle. Poor Ringo, dude.
Actually, Ringo's probably pretty chill. I would hang out with him.
Yeah, he seems pretty. I mean, he was. Didn't he just used to literally wear rings all over his fingers? I like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I like a man who wears a lot of jewelry.
Yeah.
He had a really great facial
like Lenny
hair,
Kravitz.
Though. Like, one of the best mustaches in the history of the planet, I think.
And he was on Shining Time Station.
That's right.
Yeah.
So was George Carlin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's crazy. I fucking hate Thomas the Tank Engine. As a parent who watches a lot of kids' television, fuck that show.
What are your favorite children's TV shows now?
I used to like Yo Gabba Gabba a lot.
Okay.
But my kids have gotten a little bit older. Now my favorite shit is Teen Titans Go.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's funny as shit. It's kind of like American anime. It's awesome. The superheroes.
Are kids' cartoons as good as they were when we were kids? I mean, I know there's like a lot of nostalgia in that question, but
there's a weird shift.
Is there some quality there?
There, when the Cartoon Network came out, it kind of killed network cartoons.
Yeah.
I think that's what did it. I don't know. But there's not like a set time where you can be like, oh, let's wake up early and watch cartoons. Like, it just isn't a Saturday morning cartoon block anymore, really.
Are they not selling action figures anymore? Because I just always assumed that cartoon block was advertising for...
The action figure world is like movie and like comic book based. There's a lot of Marvel ones, a lot of like Superman and DC and stuff. You still have your G.I. Joes. You still have all of these random ones coming through, but mostly it's like Minecraft and shit. I don't know.
What were some of your favorite cartoons when you guys were growing up? Were you guys big cartoon watchers as kids?
Mm-hmm. I think Doug a lot.
Oh, Doug,
yeah,
was,
Doug
great.
Was tight.
Rugrats, Kablam.
Did you hear that theory about Rugrats where they're all actually dead and in Angelica's mind?
They're in like, maybe they're in purgatory.
Yeah. Oh, damn, that's tight.
Forever babies.
One hit from a joint. Yeah, you're talking about purgatory now.
Poor Chucky. Yeah, my bad.
Whoa, man. Dude.
Off air, he's been quietly steering every conversation toward purgatory. So this, let's not use the joint as an excuse here.
In purgatory right now.
Well, let's get into it. You know. What happens to those virtuous unbaptized? You know, am I right?
They go to hell.
Well, we have an episode title.
They're definitely in hell.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. We got time for a couple more songs as we go out. But what's your upcoming schedule like? Where can people see Blowout around the Portland area?
Mm. May 1st at the No. It's Motroper's record release, maybe, / tour kickoff, and we're playing with Yusko.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. So come to the No. Awesome. The No is a great local punk spot. and we're going to play there May 1st.
Great place to see a show, May 1st. Great to see you guys there. We can check you guys out on Bandcamp. People can find your EP there. Mm-hmm. And you've also got like a single floating around on Bandcamp as well.
We do now.
That's a great one. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look for your album at the end of, well, end of summer, basically.
I would say end of July. Well. I think right now we're aiming for August 5th. And then we take off for a month-long tour after that. So fingers crossed August 5th, but, you know, shit gets crazy, I guess, so.
Yeah, real crazy.
Doesn't really. August 5th. Let's say August 5th.
Yeah. Let's go
with that. We'll hold you to it.
Awesome.
That sounds awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. Into your very nice home with your good board games.
We didn't talk about board games.
Yeah, we'll play Crabs Against Humidity.
Part two. Be the board game episode. Our other podcast. It's called Bored to Tears, but it's B-O-A-R-D. Well, thanks, Blowout. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. You can check out this one and others like it every Thursday on iTunes or Stitcher or across the internet, wherever you can get some podcasts. We appreciate you tuning in. Please leave us some love on iTunes if you download us there. And reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. HotGarbagePodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E. garbagepodcast@gmail.com. Do you guys have one song to go out on? Something you'd like to leave us with?
We could do Koala Cost.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
What is this one?
It's Koala Cost. Some friends from back home. They were super awesome.
Awesome. Well, here's some Koala Cost. So for Blowout, for Andy, for Nate, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.
Pictures on our windowsill have thinned against the panes of pouring light. Sure.
I will be alive. Then this body is just a disguise. Lucky boys never needed charms. Let the darkness hold you in its arms. Leave this town in ruins with our hearts tied to the past. Our veins keep getting thinner, and we know these ties won't last. We leave this town in ruins with our hearts tied to the past. Our veins keep getting thinner.